Good morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I am so glad to see you. I hope that you are all staying warm and that you're staying dry and that you weren't cursing my name as you were shoveling your driveways. I didn't ask for it. I didn't call for it. I was also shoveling my driveway. So it is what it is. But it's good that we are together as we continue this season after Epiphany, where we look and discover all of the ways that God's love is made manifest in the early ministry of Jesus our Lord. I'm so glad that you are here. I'm so glad if you are joining us also online. It is good for us to be together. It's the third Sunday in the month of January, so youth group meets tonight beginning at 6 p.m. So if you are able, please come. Also, this is just outside that doorway at the top of the stairs by the bulletin board, there is a new AED. That's an automatic electronic defibrillator. All right? It's an investment that we made that we hope never have to use. All right? But it also is something that if you see someone in distress, we have one. And so please know and know that it's there for us to use if necessary. All right? Wednesday, February 14th. The rest of the world knows that as St. Valentine's Day. For us, it's Ash Wednesday. It is the beginning of our season of Lent. I'm just trying to put that into everybody's mind and get it onto your calendars as we begin our Lenten journey together. Then 7 o'clock services that Wednesday evening, February 14th, Ash Wednesday. Join us, please. It has pleased Almighty and Everlasting God to welcome to His eternal home our sister in Christ, Judy Paul. Judy, a beloved child of God, leaves behind her husband Gary and the family and friends that love her deeply. Services celebrating the life that Judy shared with us will be held here at St. John's this coming Thursday, January 25th at 11 o'clock in the morning. Join us if you are able. Let us pray. Eternal God, You gave Judy for a time that seems too short. As we thank You for the life that she shared with us, help us now to release Judy to Your comfort and keeping. Bring us all to that day when we shall stand in Your presence with all Your saints in light eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, Thy Word. Let us rise and sing together.
No.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first lesson is from the third chapter of Jonah, beginning with the first verse. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at the 29th verse. "Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. From the present form of this world is passing away." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite any children to come on forward. Morning. Morning, morning, morning. Oop, there we are. There we are. How's it going? Did you guys have to go to school this week? One time. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. All right, there we go. All right. So, has your family ever gotten one of these? All right. Now, it's not a wedding invitation. It's a save the date, all right? Maybe you've started to get them. They hadn't even heard of them until about 5 years ago. And then all of a sudden, everyone wants you to get all excited. We're going to get married. But you don't have to be excited for 6 months. Save the date. Be ready to celebrate with us. But it's 6 months from now, all right? Have you ever had anybody do that to you? You know, we're going to go, but you got to wait for 6 months, all right? Last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus calls us. And when Jesus calls us, Jesus says to us, "Follow me," right? Simple, straightforward. Jesus wants us to follow him, not just to go out into the world, but then also to kind of do the things that he does. You know, you ever played, you know, Simon Says or Follow the Leader and all the rest? And that's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to follow him out into the world and to love people and to care for people and all of that. But do you think when Jesus says, "Follow me," he's saying, "Follow me, and in 6 months' time, we'll do something"? Get really excited about following me, but it's going to be 8 months from now or 10 years from now. When Jesus calls us, he wants us to come now. Jesus knows that there are people in the world you can help, who I can help, who we can help right now. It's not necessarily 10 years from now that you got to wait. It's not even 6 months from now that you got to wait. It's right now. Jesus wants you, wants me, wants all of us as Christian people to follow him right now, because the world needs love. So here's praying that we hear that call and that we're able to come right now. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for calling us. And we know that you try to call us right now. Grant us the grace to hear your call, and grant us the strength and the compassion to follow you into the world, loving our neighbors right now. We thank you for this day, Lord. Amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody. Enjoy your day. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have always been a little personally intimidated by the gospel story today. Because as Jesus approaches Andrew and Simon and James and John, the story tells us that Jesus merely says, "Follow me," and they drop everything and follow. They drop their jobs and their family. They leave their homes and their hometowns. They give up their plans for next week. They follow. Now, I have always found myself lacking when I look at my life and all of the many times that Jesus has been calling me to do something, and then my lack of speed when it comes to following. And yet, as I was preparing for this week, I was thinking about all sorts of things, and I came up with a new insight. Now, I'm not going to do this next thing only to toot my own horn, all right? Believe me, I know that that's not a horn I want to toot very long or very loud, but I do want to share with you just a little bit of my story. Okay, I was born into an amazing and loving family. Now, I'm number 7 out of 8 children overall, and I'm the second boy. So I have 5 older sisters. You've heard me talk about them. I have an older brother, and then my younger brother eventually came along as well. Grew up in the east side of St. Paul, Minnesota, and we all went to Gethsemane Lutheran Church, where I was baptized at 20 days old. Our church ran a day school, and so I went to that day school from kindergarten until I graduated from the 9th grade. My early days growing up were wonderful. I grew in years knowing that I was loved and cared for, and my faith grew as I went to Sunday school and then religion class 4 days a week and chapel every Wednesday. I had it good. I know that I am one of the fortunate ones in the world around me. And it was 1978 when I was in religion class when it happened. I was called by God to be a pastor. Now, I wish I could say that there was some great voice from heaven, or even that the lights in the classroom flickered a little bit or did something cool. Nothing like that. I just knew that I was supposed to be a pastor. You see, in the junior high, our religion classes were taught by the 3 pastors at my church. Yes, it was a large congregation, all right? Minnesota. Lutherans are really dense there, all right? But I was now getting to see these pastors more than just on Sunday mornings. I had a chance to hear them, learn from them, study with them. Now, I enjoyed all of it, and it was great to get to know them. And on that spring day, I knew that God had called me to be a pastor. Now, I told my mom, and she was delighted. But she had also been delighted when I told her that I wanted to be a brain surgeon, and when I told her I wanted to be a paleontologist. I was certain that she thought it was just another phase, although I do think she hoped that it wasn't. So from that spring day in 1978, I knew that I was going to be a pastor, and I worked to try to do just that. Now, I don't ever want to compare myself to Peter or to John, and yet I guess I am kind of. Because like them, I gave up all thoughts of any different career path, no more brain surgery or paleontology for me. And I set myself to following the call that I had received from God. I've been a little humbled as I thought about this week. But you see, that's the power of Jesus' call. It penetrates. It confronts where you are and it upsets the expectation that the world has for us. But the truth is that many people still find it, if not easy, at least convenient to ignore Jesus, to stand there and say, la, 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 I can't hear you. I had classmates in seminary, lots of them, where that was their story. They were trying to ignore that call from God and they tried to run away. Doreen was one of my closest friends in seminary. She was an amazing woman and a keen scholar. She had heard God's call to come into ministry and didn't want to hear it because she was a professional singer. Wow! She and her husband, in order to sort of escape that whole call to go to ministry, they booked themselves as entertainers on an around-the-world cruise ship. And so for 2 years, they did 12 shows a week. They got wined and dined by all kinds of people, and they hit every major port on the planet. And yet the persistent call of Christ led her to Chicago and the seminary, and she started studying as soon as they got off boat. Don, too, did not want to hear that call from God to be a pastor. Instead, he wanted to be a certified public accountant. I can't imagine anyone wanting to be a certified public accountant, but thank the Lord that you're out there. You know, there we are. But Don didn't. He didn't. And so he passed his CPA exam. He got hired by Arthur Anderson out in Denver. And yet, that persistent call of Jesus led him to start seminary, bringing his wife and two daughters with as he began that quest for ministry. Then there was Missy, who really wanted to be a pastor before we Lutherans started ordaining women to be pastors. And so she got married and had a family. And when all of those things were kind of, you know, on an even keel, she began her 10-year quest for ordination. You see, for some people, like Jonah in our first reading today, it takes a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time, or a 57th time. Now, we all kind of know about Jonah's first call from God to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he definitely did not want to help them escape the wrath of God. So Jonah ran. He got into a boat and tried to escape as far in the other direction as he could possibly go. And then we get the storm, and then we get the fish, and we get the 3 days in the belly. But today in our reading, we hear that the word of God came to Jonah a second time. Jonah needed another dose. So often we need another try. And some of the good news that we hear today is that God is prepared to call us again and again and again. Simon and Andrew heard that call. They left everything and they followed. I kind of did that same thing, and yet also we all lost our way. We all thought of other things that we might like to do instead. We thought of other places we would rather be. And that is the sad truth for us as human beings. We are weak and we are trapped by our sin and by our desires. But God continues to call. God continues to search for us when we are lost. God continues to find us, to wait for us. The amazing truth that I have learned is that God is truly consistent and persistent when it comes to loving us, forgiving us, and calling us to love and service for neighbors. The foundation of Jesus' call is the good news that he proclaims at the very beginning of our gospel today. He says, the time is now. All is in readiness. And the kingdom of God is near. It's right here. And the kingdom comes not as a nation, but as a state of being for us, knowing that we are loved and forgiven. So part of that call from Jesus is for us to repent and believe, because God is waiting for us to turn around. And the truth of God's love is there for us to feel, to believe, and to share with others. And it is only after these truths are spoken that Jesus says to anyone, follow me. And so into our lives transformed by the power of baptism, our lives encouraged by the grace of communion, into those lives, Jesus speaks our call. Sometimes it feels like it's the very first time and we drop everything and we go. Sometimes we know it's the second time, the third time, the 57th time, and we go. We go because of God's love for us. We go because we see the needs of our neighbors around us. We go into the world following Jesus so that we can share God's love and peace as we live into God's kingdom that we can share that is right at hand. We go so that God's vision for love and care, for unity of spirit and diversity of gifts can become our daily mission. The time is now, fulfilled and at hand for Jesus' call. Now, this may not be a call to ordained ministry. I get that. But we are, all of us, called to follow Jesus into the world in love. May we hear that call. May we follow Jesus, making God's kingdom more and more real for the people around us. May we share the good news of God's love in Jesus that we believe in. May we share that then with all others around us, however we can. That is our challenge, and God is with us to help. Go then in peace, serving the Lord in all that you do. Amen. Please rise. Let us now celebrate our baptism as we confess our faith together using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessings on the church, the world, and all of creation. God, our rock and deliverance, do not let your church be shaken. We trust you never abandon your promises to the most vulnerable among us. Give your church wisdom and empathy in its varied ministries. Lord, in your mercy. God, our hope and refuge. You placed the fish in the sea. Guide our care of oceans and all creatures that live in them. Hold us accountable for actions that endanger water sources and the people who depend upon them. Lord, in your mercy. God, who proclaims judgment and offers mercy, be a model to the leaders of our nation and the world. As they lead, may they follow in your way of justice and truth. Lord, in your mercy. God, who cares for the suffering, care for survivors of assault and sexual abuse, and sustain all who minister to them. Keep safe any who live under threat of violence, those living in poverty, and any among us who are ill or in pain. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people in need of your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness and your help. We pray for Judith, Francis, Maria, Paul, John, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. God of resurrection and new life, as the first disciples shared the good news, empower us and this faith community to be open to your call. When we are uncertain of your call, assure us. When we have strayed from your ways, redirect us. Lord, in your mercy. God, who holds the saints against your own tender bosom, We trust you welcome them into your care. Comfort those who grieve, even as we place our hope in your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stay warm, stay dry, stay safe this week. And I hope that this is a blessed week for you as you go into the world with hope.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again. Bye.